talk about it as justice. A king that will put all things right. All people will live in harmony. All things will be good. It was a long, long wait for Israel. And it has been a long, long wait in many ways for us. The psalm that we read this morning, it was a psalm that was a prayer, actually, that was used at the coronation of a king. When the king was crowned, the hope was there. Would this be the one? Would this be the king that could make this nation be everything that God has called us to be? Would this be the king that could rise above politics, deception, materialism, power, and instead be a king that brought peace and fairness, that took care of the lost and needy, cared about the poor and oppressed? The reign of Solomon was a very hopeful reign. He was the son of King David. Perhaps this would be the one. And yet, at the death of King Solomon, everyone knew he hadn't been the one. He'd been a good king, a powerful king, a wealthy king, a king that had helped Israel see all kinds of wealth, but at a very high cost. It was under Solomon's reign that the rich got richer and the poor got poorer. It was under the reign of Solomon that some of the direction of Israel started to go in some wrong directions. His son was now going to be crowned king, and people were hopeful. Maybe he would be the one. Advisors came to him and said, "This is what you really need to do if you want to put things right in Israel. We were your father's advisors, and there's some mistakes we've made. You need to lower the taxes. You need to do some other things." But no, he would not listen. And in not listening, a very terrible beginning began. A civil war. In fact, we ended up with a northern kingdom and a southern kingdom. We ended up with the death of the hope. The death of the hope of an Israel that could be God's people in the way they had been called to for so long. By the time Isaiah comes around, remember, Paul refers to Isaiah as one of those assurances that God is going to do what God has promised, that God is going to bring fairness and an end of people being put down and stepped on because of the many reasons that we do. The color of their skin, their gender, their age, how much money they have, what nationality they are, their political allegiances. By the time Isaiah came around, the northern kingdom had fallen to Assyria. The people were scattered throughout the world, and that's where we get that talk about the 10 lost tribes of Israel. Many of them would be lost forever. No one would even know what happened to most. The southern kingdom was in great danger as well. Assyria surrounded them. It looked as if they would fall to Assyria as well. They were paying great price for Syria not to attack them. It was called tribute. And they sent it off to the foreign leaders to say, "Don't beat us up too bad." And that was the only way they were staying with their heads above water. You can imagine it was a very dark time in the history of Israel. And you can imagine that sense that there would ever be any hope, any sense of assurance that God was going to do what God said God was going to do was looking pretty dim and pretty bleak. And yet, the prophet Isaiah rose up and said, "It'll still happen." And these are the words that Isaiah used in chapter 11, verses 1 through 4a. "A shoot shall come up from the stump of Jesse, Jesse was David's father. And in the fall of the kingdom of David was a way of saying the tree has been chopped down. The line of David has been chopped down. The act of it coming out of the way we thought isn't going to happen. But yet there is a shoot that will come off that stump. It is not dead. The hope is not gone. It can still happen. And in fact, it's not just a matter of it could. It will. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, and the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, and the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. This isn't just going to be any king. This one is going to be the one we've been waiting for, the one that will put all things right. He shall not judge by what he sees with the eye, or decide by what he hears with the ears. But with righteousness, with fairness, he shall judge the poor and decide with equality for the meek of the earth. It was still going to happen. It was still possible, even in those dark times. As we are here today, things haven't really changed a whole lot, I don't think, for us. We still do have great hope that one day things will be put right. That we will have judges that sit on the bench and are not susceptible to the whims of society or political pressures, but will decide with fairness, integrity, and honesty. We still hope every time there is a presidential election that this time someone will run and we can vote for somebody that we can have confidence in, that we can feel good about. This will be the president that will help our nation be not just a great wealthy nation, but a nation of fairness, a nation of integrity, a nation that can help bring peace to the world, a nation that will no longer have anybody in it that's poor. That we'll find answers to our problems, answer to the violence and the crime. And yet every time we get a president, we're just slightly disappointed, I think, in the difference between what they're able to do in office and all the promises they made, let alone all the hopes we had. We sit there and wonder, is there any point anymore in hoping? I mean, is this just gotten to be wishful thinking? I mean, after all, maybe it's just not possible. And perhaps with the events that have unfolded very recently in our history, we're even more to a point of feeling the desperation of how desperate things have become. Planes flew into towers. They fell. People died. Businesses were lost. Innocents were hurt. And then we as a nation are stuck with wondering how we can possibly respond to such great evil. Do nothing? Do more violence? Either choice seems so incomplete and so horrible. And we've done the best we could. We hear about the situation in Afghanistan and we realize they have had anything but fairness and peace for the last 20 years. Before the Taliban was there, it was another horrible government. When we finally move out, will it be any better for them? Will they finally have a government that will treat the people of Afghanistan with justice, with fairness, that will care about the poor, that will make sure there's food on the table? For the hungry, will have a plan and a concern for all of the people who have been orphaned and misplaced in 20 years of horrible war. The more I find out about what's going on in the world, the more I find out about all of the different complex networks of relationships and politics and power, the more I wonder if there are any answers at all. And the more I want it, the more something that can put this all right because it breaks my heart. It's so unfair. How can it possibly continue this way? But our scripture points us someplace else, someplace besides looking for something in this world to fix it all. Something besides what we can see with our eyes and hear with our ears. Something greater. Paul talks about the fact that if you look, says that the scriptures, that's where we can find the basis of our hope. And we can have that assurance to persevere and have faith and steadfastness that God will still be true to God's promises. And what do we find in those scriptures? It is not something of earth that is going to put everything right. No president, no king, no government, no military force is going to be able to fix what's wrong here. It's not possible. It won't happen. But God is an amazing God. And what is impossible for us is possible with God. You see, we are in the season of Advent. Advent comes from the Latin adventus. It also comes from an old English word, and it means coming. The coming. We are in the season of the coming, and we look forward with anticipation. We look forward with anticipation to remembering the coming of Christ as a baby in the manger. That gift, that glimpse of what God was up to and what God was going to do. But it's more than that. We in Advent are looking forward to the coming. Not just the coming of Christ as a baby, but the coming of the fullness of the kingdom. The coming of that time of righteousness. That time of things being right. That time of justice. That time of things being fair. That time of peace. And not just a peace of an absence of conflict, but a peace where we live in harmony. We care about one another. And we don't use violence, envy, or hatred to try to solve our problems. We look forward to the second coming of Christ as well, when all things will be put right. In the preaching of John the Baptist, we hear a little bit about that. As he says, Jesus coming will mean that the kingdom comes near. And thank God we get a glimpse of it. Because it helps us keep strong in our steadfastness and our hoping and our knowing that one day it will happen. John Willis, who came and did our charge conference for us, is another pastor in the district. And as he led charge conference, he started out with a devotion. And he said some things that really stayed with me. He said, you know, with all that's happened, with the horrible events of September 11th, with the massive loss of life, with the despair that so many people are going to be feeling this holiday season without their loved ones with them, with us having soldiers over in Afghanistan away from their home and family, with all the violence and ugliness in the world, we have to stop and think, do we celebrate our holiday the same way we always have? Do we just go on as though nothing has happened? And he went on to talk some about that. But what stuck in my mind was this. This is the season of hope. This is the season of expectation. This is the season when we look forward to the coming of God in Jesus Christ, and bringing all righteousness and fairness and justice with Him. The events of September 11th were horrible. But in some ways, they make this season all that more important. And they put us in a place of being able to celebrate this season all that more effectively. When everything's going right, it's real easy to think, you know, come whenever you feel like it, Christ. We aren't in any big hurry. But when we look around and see our world in such chaos,
we are reminded of how desperately we need this promise of God. How desperately we need not the world's hope, but God's hope. Alive in our lives and alive in our world. As we celebrate the season of Advent and the Christmas season, may the God of patience and encouragement help us live in complete harmony with each other and with an attitude of Christ towards one another. May the events of September 11th not fade from our minds, and may we not go on as just nothing has happened. May what's going on in Afghanistan not be overshadowed by the twinkling of beautiful lights. May it stay in the forefront of our mind, and as such, may it be a reminder to us of how much we need Christ Jesus our Lord, of how much we need an answer not from earth, but of heaven, of how glorious and wonderful the gift of Jesus Christ on Christmas was, and how glorious and wonderful it will be when Christ comes again.